What's going on? He's Ed Durrell, Daryl Teeler. I'm Justin Valentine. Adam Copeland is in AEW.
Watch it.
Who attacked Jay White? And John Cena is teaming up with LA Knight. It's time to roar around the ring. So WrestleDream, as a pay-per-view as a whole, it was a solid show. Nothing outrageous until the end. The rumors that we actually brought up on this show and...
Did something big happen at the end?
Yeah, a little bit, and I'll own it. We said no way.
Yeah.
Absolutely no way would this happen, but the artist formerly known as Edge.
The artist.
Now Adam Copeland, showing up at the end of WrestleDream, and at first seemingly helping Christian Cage, turning on Christian, this after a Nick Wayne heel turn, helping out Darby Allin and Sting to fight off Christian Cage, Luchasaurus, and such. Adam Copeland's in AEW.
Yeah, I mean, we thought the big like swerve moment was Nick Wayne, but
yes,
this is something that I've been saying for a long time. People were pushing this and making their own little All Elite memes. I'm like, stop it!
Right,
this isn't gonna happen. He's a WWE lifer.
Yeah,
but here we are.
The rumors have been around for a minute because, of course, Edge's contract was up after that match with Sheamus. Christian, of course, is in AEW. And then during the weekend leading into WrestleDream, they announced that Christian and Darby were going to main event, and that added to it. I did not believe this would happen until it actually happened. Even after seeing everything on social media, even after the main event, he's just somebody. A, he's at the end of his career, yes, but... I thought, and we said it on this show, this dude is a lifer in WWE.
Yeah, no, this is still big. Like, because even though he is on the tail end of his career, he is older now. I mean, he's proven he can still go. Maybe not having that same schedule he did, you know, before his neck injury that put him out for a while. But he can still have a match here and there, a big-time match. And he's still a draw. The fans are still excited. We were still, in WWE, the fans are still excited to see Edge. So it is a big get. By Tony Khan and AEW, for sure.
AEW, of course, has debuted and brought over a lot of people, which any new company would. There are three times in AEW history where they had someone show up and I went, no way. Jon Moxley, CM Punk, and now Adam Copeland, right? A majority of the rest of the AEW roster that they brought over, we've seen them elsewhere in the past, right?
Yeah.
Christian went to TNA for a while, right? Jericho came over from WCW. Sting was barely in WWE. And it's not their fault, whatever. And then they have a bunch of homegrown talent. Those three guys are three guys that we, at least on main TV, those guys were WWE guys. Moxley was in WWE for a decade. You know, once he got big, it was WWE.
Yeah.
Of course, CM Punk, bringing him back from his hiatus from wrestling. I know how it ended up, but when the moment happened, it was, oh, this is legit. And now Adam Copeland, I know him as Edge. It's going to be hard, and it's funny.
I was about to say, I had to catch myself after I just got through saying my piece. I was like, how many times did I call him Edge?
Right.
But it's going to be tough to be like Adam Copeland.
And shout out to MJF during the press conference. it's Edge, you know, Copeland, whatever.
MJF was all of us. It's like, yes, okay, Adam Copeland, whatever, yeah.
But it's Edge, right? And the fact that I've known him to be Edge, you know, I know the retirement was in there for 25 years.
Yeah.
Right? He's been on the main roster since 98. He's always been Edge. He's always been WWE. And the fact that he went over to AEW, you said this is a huge get, top three get for AEW. But how much do you expect from him in terms of storyline, matches, consistency on the show?
I mean, he's going to have a big angle initially with Christian, I think, with Christian Luchasaurus and Nick Wayne, this whole thing going on.
Yeah.
He'll probably team with Darby Allin, which I wouldn't mind seeing. That'd be kind of cool for a big match.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much consistency, again, you're going to get like throughout a year to see like, you know, just random TV matches on Dynamite or Collision. You know, it's just... You're going to get big angles, big-time matches, and then he'll probably be off and on TV for a while.
You want Edge and Christian one-on-one, or you good with like a – because I feel like Full Gear, we're going leaning toward a six-man tag involving the rest. Or would you rather Edge Christian one-on-one?
I think you're eventually going to get that. I think initially to kind of like fill everything out, get everybody adjusted to working with him who hasn't worked with him.
Yeah.
Plus, it's going to be really, really cool to see him teaming with Sting.
Yeah.
Even though that's like – we're talking people in advanced age here, but – just the visual of that. Sting can still go, and just the visual of that is really cool. So I don't mind that six-man initially. I think it's pretty fun.
What gets me extra excited about this, we've seen that Edge can still go, it's how good Christian still is.
Oh, man.
Christian, I will say, at this point of his career, is at a higher level than Edge. Not a knock on Edge, but just looking at it, consistency, looking at the matches, Christian, his pace is still up there. Edge is still good. He can still put on a main event match. It is a tick slower than what we have seen from him in the past. I don't think Christian is a tick slower in the ring. And that's what gets me excited, whether it is one-on-one down the line. Are we going to get – you have to do an Edge and Christian reunion. Now, it's going to be weird because it's going to be an Adam and Christian reunion.
Adam and Christian.
But you have to put those guys back together. That's something I would not mind a tag team title run out of them. Within the next year, right? I know we didn't want to see it from the Hardys. You know, I know some people are kind of like, why are you putting the titles on Billy Gunn with the Acclaimed? Edge and Christian? He's Edge. Sorry. He can be in AEW for 5 years. He's Edge. Edge and Christian can give me a tag team title run. I will enjoy every match they're in. The one match I do not want to see is Edge and Christian and the Hardys. I know Tony Khan, the fanboy, is going to come out, and he's going to want that nostalgic match. I do not want
to
see that.
Yeah, the temptation for that's going to be there. I don't need to see that. I really don't. That's not something, if I'm in a booking committee there or whatever, I'm not like looking forward to doing that.
Yeah.
It's not something that I would pitch. Now, I'm not saying you're never going to. You're obviously going to have some sort of interaction between the four. It's going to happen just
fine.
For nostalgic purposes, and I don't mind that. I don't know how much I want to see Adam and Christian. It's just A and C. It just doesn't sound right. But Adam and Christian as tag champions, even for a short stint, I don't know. That's not something I really want to see.
They both can still cut a phenomenal promo. They can put on a great match, great stories. Why would you not want titles on them? Those two together, especially if they get back together and go back to the comedy bits that they do. We've seen them on their show from a while ago. They're still witty, funny, great promos. I would love that.
They're still reeking of awesomeness.
That's my thing. Now, can they use that? Does WWE have
Well, they can't
too?
Do the flash photography anymore unless you're talking about, you know, everybody pull out your iPhones or something.
For the benefit of those with iPhones.
For the benefit of those with iPhones.
Every
because,
Android user is like, because, damn it!
Hey, look. Let's look. iPhone pictures are better. Anyway.
We turning this into an iPhone versus Android.
This is now a tech show. No.
When I saw Edge on AEW TV, and I mean this in a complimentary way to AEW, I was like emotional. Because, and this is why I say it's a top three get. This doesn't feel right. And I mean that in a compliment. Like, you pulled this off. Seeing Edge, and the fact that he was just in WWE a couple months ago, seeing him in a different company, in AEW's ring, with Darby Allin and their stars, I'm like, this doesn't feel right. But that's what makes the wrestling industry so damn good.
Well, it makes you wonder how he felt walking through that curtain. Because going back, and I've watched that segment a bunch of times now.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, how did he feel coming through that curtain? And it's like when you walk through that curtain and you see that crowd and your music's playing that you're familiar with and you see Christian in the ring, but then there's all these other people you never worked with before.
Yeah.
And this logo you never worked under before.
Right.
It's like, now you're here. Now it's solidified.
Yeah.
Your name's on the contract. We're running with this. So it's like, did he feel like, wow, you know, this, we're really doing this.
I want to bring something up that may have absolutely no connection, but maybe it does. How much of an impact, if at all, does Edge showing up in AEW have?
Adam Copeland,
which if they don't do a Roderick Strong segment with him yelling for
Adam
the wrong
and Adam.
Adam.
Yeah, just both Adams. What?
Yeah, right. Or just like he's just during an Edge interview.
It's going to be Adam 1 and Adam 2.
Yeah, or something. Like, you need to do something with
but
that.
But to your
one
question,
segment.
Sorry.
My question is, how much of an impact, if at all, does this have on the possibility of CM Punk actually showing up in WWE?
I don't really think it affects it. I think CM Punk and whatever WWE is going to do or not going to do with him, whatever he chooses to do, I think that's kind of its own space.
Yeah.
Now, if he does show up, I think automatically you and I and a lot of fans are going to look at it like, oh, that's their answer to what AEW just did with Edge, Adam Copeland.
Right. And I don't know if this was more... And again, I feel like we say this once a week. AEW fans, stay away from me. If this is more of an even playing field, an even competition, and I only mean that in the sense that WWE's been around for as long as they have.
Right.
AEW has a lot of ground to make up.
They have a seniority. Yeah.
It is what it is, right? So I don't mean that in a negative way toward AEW. if this was more of a level playing field in the competition wise,
right,
then I would say yes, right? But I agree with you, because WWE, they, whatever they were or were not going to do with CM Punk, this doesn't change it for a couple reasons. Number one, it does AEW is competition. I think someone like Adam Copeland going over there reminds WWE, in case they needed that reminder, they are legitimate competition, which is great for wrestling. It's great for WWE. It's great for us. But it reminds them of that. But at the same time, I don't know that that these two are even in general. Because you have Adam Copeland, who is at the end of his career. Mm-hmm. It's not like they should put a world title on him, and this is going to become their guy. If, with all the drama aside, if Punk is to come over, Punk is not a guy at the end of his career. Punk is still a guy that would most likely be in the world title picture. It's not an even, oh, you got Adam, we got Punk, right? It's not an even star for star thing. But in general, I don't think Triple H or anyone in WWE watches anything that AEW does and says, I think they watch what they do, but I right. don't think they say, oh, well, then we need to respond.
No, I feel they do watch them for scouting purposes. I mean, just like to reference like Jade Cargill for exactly. certain. But CM Punk, I think you're right, because this isn't the late 90s. This is not the Monday Night War where it's like, we got your guy, you got our guy
right.
kind of deal. It's...
This isn't a sting for Undertaker
no,
situation.
No, exactly. That right. would be huge, you know, back in like 2000 or whatever. Right. But this is more of a thing now where it's like, yes, they are competition because they're the other viable company to go to.
Yes.
Before, you know, there was a time when it was just WWE, where the big money was. But now mm-hmm. it's like you have AEW, mm-hmm. and, you know, if you want to go to Japan, whatever. And it's like, but now, you know, if CM Punk goes to WWE, it's, yeah, it could be like, oh, you got our guy, we got your guy, but not really.
Right.
You know?
Staying with AEW, a big story that happened before WrestleDream, and then MJF denied it at WrestleDream. Who attacked Jay White? Jay White and MJF having a promo battle during Dynamite, and then at the end of Dynamite, they showed Jay White getting attacked backstage, and somebody, we will say it that way, showed up wearing MJF's mask, standing over Jay White. MJF went on to deny this. Is this to push MJF more as a babyface, or did MJF do this?
If MJF is not involved in this faction, presumably, then it's gonna his babyface run will continue. He'll yeah. just be involved going probably against this.
Okay.
Maybe even having a loose team up association with Jay White and Bullet Club. But personally, I don't know, man. I kind of get the feeling that we're being played here.
In what angle?
I think MJF is involved. I think Adam Cole is involved. I think
MJF Roderick's, and Adam Cole are involved.
Yes. I don't think that who's going to turn on who thing is ever going to happen. They never planned on turning on each other. I think the fans are being played. I think this is all in association with the Kingdom. They're all together. This is a group.
Roderick Strong and everybody.
Yes. That's my opinion.
MJF, when he faked babyface in the past, he went full stereotypical babyface, showing up wearing the team's uniform, right? He showed
Mets,
up in a Mets
yeah.
jersey, and then when he, you know, we ripped it off when he, oh, I was faking it, right? He, if, I don't know what the game plan was at the beginning, but MJF was obviously over before. His babyface run right now is over because he isn't the stereotypical babyface, which is why I think you need to keep it as is. I don't think there should be anytime soon, at least, any turn back to the MJF the heel. I don't think there should be any turn back to, whether it's with or without Adam Cole, back to MJF being that asshole heel that he was a year ago, because he is living this up right now and it's working, right? He is not. He hasn't changed, right? He is right. the same type of babyface that Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kevin Owens, CM Punk, guys like that who, when they were fan favorites, they still were who they were.
The Rock.
The Rock's another
one. It's a prime example of MJF and The Rock. There's a lot of comparisons I see between exactly. those babyface runs right now.
So he doesn't change his attitude. He admits, I'm your douchebag.
Yeah.
Right? And it's a whole chant. It's yeah. a whole thing, and it works, which is why I would not switch MJF in any angle anytime soon back to being a heel. I think it is Adam Cole.
Okay.
Now,
so we agree on that much.
I agree on that much, but I think it's against MJF. I think Roderick Strong, and you know, you and I were talking before we came out here, and you mentioned something that I think would work, and it would be an extended version of it. You mentioned a new version of the Undisputed Era.
Yes.
But let's also remember that the entire, in different times, Undisputed Era has been affiliated with AEW.
Yes.
Why would it not just be the Undisputed Era?
That's a good point.
Because out of this, if you bring back, and it all depends on health and everything else, but if you bring back a Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, you already have Roger Strong there. What you do or don't do with Matt Taven and Mike Bennett, I don't care for those two to begin with. So if you involve them, cool. If you want to cast them off, I'm cool with that too. Because what you get out of this is you get the Adam Cole turn, you keep MJF face, you can have that feud, but you also start a faction feud between Bullet Club Gold and that Undisputed Era.
I do like that.
And that's the route you go, but you don't turn MJF back heel. You can't.
I don't know. I mean, your route of that of things is pretty interesting, pretty good too, but I just wonder if that's the route they're going to go, because we've had this, the reason I think that is because we've had this sort of like, the who's going to turn on who thing,
right,
for so long. Now, whether you just completely like have MJF as an outsider and it's like he didn't know any of this was going on, it's right, all Adam Cole's dealings, then you could be that, or they could all be one big faction.
Do you think at this point of this MJF world title run and this big picture thing, are we overthinking and are they over pushing the whole angle of can we trust MJF? Are we over that, or is that still a viable thing?
Well, I think the fans have accepted MJF as is. I think they're over it. There's a in the sense of like, is he gonna turn on who he is now and switch up? I mean, I don't think the fans are gonna look at him that way. We've kind of embraced him now. As far if you're talking about the whole Adam Cole thing,
yeah.
I don't know. Again, like I said, I think there's a swerve there somewhere, and I don't think necessarily gonna be them swerving each other.
I think with MJF, I get why they're doing it because he was such a heel for so long.
Yeah.
But this has gone on long enough, mm-hmm, where you can just casually stop bringing that up, right?
Right.
It kind of goes back to the thing that wrestling fans are simple. If you quit telling us it every week, we'll forget.
In that context, yes, I agree with that. Like in that context of it, yeah, because you don't have to keep hitting people over the head with things.
Yes.
Again, wrestling fans are smart. They're simple but smart.
Yes.
Like, You don't have to be Vince McMahon about it and like throw it in our face. You can be subtle. We'll figure it out.
Right.
You don't have to keep hammering the point home every single week, every single show.
If MJF was just casually a face without anyone bringing up, can you trust him? And then a month went by and all of a sudden MJF turned on somebody, I'd be shocked. Right. Yeah. As if I never saw that coming. Now, obviously, you look at, of course, it's MJF, whatever.
Right, right.
But all you need to do is quit bringing it up for a month. Just quit saying it every week.
Yeah.
And then if he does turn, I would be shocked. But if you keep reminding me, now it's top of mind.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You have to let, if you're going to go that route, you have to let people, allow people to be in a false sense of security.
Right.
Because then you just forget about it. You think everything's fine. And then boom.
Let's switch over to WWE because they got a pay-per-view coming up. Fastlane Saturday night from when we were recording this show. And tag team match.
Oh, yeah.
Most likely the main event. John Cena is teaming up with LA Knight, confirmed on SmackDown. Was probably supposed to get confirmed 2 SmackDowns ago, but LA Knight was out with COVID 2 weeks ago. LA Knight helping Cena against Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa. That match confirmed for Fastlane. You think this is the right call for this spot?
I personally think so because there's been a lot of stop and start with them pushing LA Knight.
Yeah.
He got his nod from Cena, basically.
Yeah.
Not too long ago, and I think this is a good spot for him. There was nothing else going on.
Yeah.
Cena needed a partner. You need to find someone that the fans are going to pop for. LA Knight's the guy.
I don't think it makes any sense.
Why is that?
Now, first,
you wanted Edge to be the partner.
You need to relax, first off. You're coming at me really hard for saying that. Look, I love, let me get this out of the way. I love that LA Knight's getting the spot. Good for him. Kudos to him. It does not make any sense.
Okay.
He has zero history with the Bloodline, number one. You have multiple guys, including someone who's supposed to come over from Raw, and Cody Rhodes, which I do like what they're doing with Jey Uso over there with the tag titles, but that would have made sense. Bringing someone back like a Randy Orton or anyone else who has history with the Bloodline would have made sense. Not injuring AJ Styles and having John Cena and AJ as a team, that would have made sense. That would have been big enough for a pay-per-view main event and still made more sense because AJ has history with the Bloodline. At the same time, you could also spiral that into an AJ versus Roman story for the title.
Mm-hmm.
Because that makes more sense than an LA Knight versus Roman story for the title. And that's why I don't like it for LA Knight, because, and you tell me what you think after Fastlane, I don't envision LA Knight challenging Roman for the title. I don't think anyone does. I don't think anyone really wants to see that right now because we know he won't win. So what this feels like is we're going to skyrocket you to the main event, our biggest picture, and then we're going to pull you back down to the mid-card and potentially give you a title. I love the idea of him getting a title. I don't like the process of taking him to the main event and bringing him back down. His build should have been for a title. His build, his pay-per-view spot, should have been a U.S. title spot, not this main event, at least the first one.
Personally, I think you're overthinking it. No, I really do, and I'll explain why I think that. I think that this is just a spot for a fan favorite performer in LA Knight,
okay,
who the storyline works out. John Cena needs a partner.
Yeah,
let's put someone the fans are going to pop for in there again. LA Knight's the guy. It doesn't mean that therefore he's in this match, so therefore he has to get against Roman Reigns and blah, blah, blah. Not necessarily so. It's just a big spot because the Cody thing makes sense where he's at. It would have been nice to see him be the partner for John Cena.
Yeah.
That probably would have been a better
fit. You could have brought Randy Orton because back if he's healthy. He's at the Performance Center?
Well, maybe not ready to go, though. And, of course, Cody and John Cena both have history against Roman and the Bloodline. Roman's not part of this match. So it doesn't necessarily have to be so. It's not like we're going to branch off whoever wins here. We're getting back in the title scene against Roman Reigns. It's just a spot for LA Knight to have a spot on the show, and it's gonna, you know, the fans are gonna pop for it, and he gets the nod to team with John Cena.
So what happens in your brain with LA Knight after Fastlane? Where does he go?
What happens with him after this match? He can go back down to the midcard.
That's what I don't like.
No, but it's not. It's also not a demotion. It sounds like a demotion, but it's not because nobody. But nobody is expecting LA Knight right now to win the world title,
which is why he shouldn't be in this spot.
But you've had historically fan favorite wrestlers be in big, whether it be like on Raw or SmackDown or whatever, they've been in big time matches with bigger name talent.
Yeah.
It does not mean that the following week they have to challenge for the world title. That's not necessarily how it works. It's just somebody that's super over, that the fans love, they're going to be excited to see, they're going to pay to see, his merchandise is flying off the shelves. Why not put him in there with a guy who is considered the GOAT of WWE?
The one thing that does make sense is that Cena and LA Knight did have that moment at Payback, the respect moment. Cena was the referee. I get that angle of it. I will say you brought up Roman Reigns, too. Work there? Thank you. Because and you and I were texting about this last week during SmackDown. I have jumped off the Roman Reigns hype train. This dude is not.
You don't acknowledge him anymore, huh?
I don't. And I don't. Here's the thing. This dude, and I don't know if it's him or the company, so I don't want to put it on him because if the company's telling him to stay home, it's not on him. They are acting like he is a bigger star than he actually is. In general, I've always hated a champion going part-time. It said the same thing when Brock did it, right? The difference was The Rock didn't go part-time until he became a Hollywood movie star. He left us to go to movies. Did we love it? No, but you get it.
Right.
Brock left multiple times for the NFL, for UFC. Did we love it? No, but you get the business. Cena, movies. Same thing as The Rock. He's a hypocrite because he called out The Rock. But
they're all hypocrites calling out The Rock in the end.
And yes. But you get it. Anybody who doesn't watch wrestling on the regular can name you at least two of the three between John Cena, Rock, and Brock. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Most people who don't watch wrestling on the regular would not know, who the hell Roman Reigns is.
You're saying the casual
just kind wrestling of fan
flipping channels.
If you go to anyone who does not watch wrestling on the regular and put Roman Reigns' face in front of them, they would not be able to name him.
Okay,
Why are you part time? Rock left us for movies. Cena left us for movies. Brock left us for the UFC. You left us for what? You're taking the title and you're sitting at home. Do you think you're that big of a star? You are in wrestling.
WWE thinks he is.
And this is towards
Triple H
WWE
thinks
Roman.
He is, apparently. So.
Do you think you're that big of a star that now you can show up three times a year? You're leaving us for Edge left. Edge went on to do movies. People know Edge more than Roman Reigns. Yes.
That is debatable. That is debatable.
Edge was on The Walking Dead, dude. Like, you know how big that show was.
Yeah. I mean, after like four or five seasons. But yeah.
Even
anyway.
If they would look at him and say, I know that guy from, he was on The Walking Dead. Right?
Okay, so that is a litmus test. If you can look at, okay, so if a person can look at Edge, let's say Adam Copeland.
Stop that.
Okay.
You stop that right now.
Come on, pal. All right. they can look at Edge and be like, yeah, I know that guy. He was on that show.
Yeah.
I know. So basically, there's a oh, I remember his face.
Roman doesn't even get
Roman
that.
Roman Reigns will be like, what is he, a football player? Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to know.
And they're treating him, right? Whether it's because of him or because of them, they are treating him as if he is The Rock, John Cena.
They're treating him like he's Hulk Hogan.
Exactly. And he's not even close to that.
And as much as I am no fan of Hulk Hogan, Roman Reigns is not on Hulk Hogan's level.
That's how they're treating him right now. And John Cena even had the nerve to call Roman Reigns the greatest of all time. Are you kidding me?
That's company talk, man.
That's company talk. Roman's been at a high level for three
years.
John
Cena is leaps and bounds the greatest of all time over Roman Reigns. Let's just be honest. Let's be intellectually honest.
Cena put in 10 years as the top guy.
How that dude's back is not broken from carrying that company for 10 years, I'll never know.
Roman's been the top guy for 3 years.
It's been a good three-year run.
It's been a great 3-year run, but 3 years and you're part time for nothing. Rock went part time for Hollywood.
You're getting heated about this, pal. We got to move on.
Roman's not even top five all time. I'll put it that way.
I acknowledge you, my tribal chief.
Before we get out of here, a couple things I want to mention other than Roman Reigns. Dominic Mysterio dropped the North American title at No Mercy, won it right back at NXT against Trick Williams. Do you understand this back and forth?
I don't like this 50-50 booking. I don't like this win it, drop it, lose it. We're going to push this guy, but no, never mind, we're not. I don't get it. Plus, it's an NXT title.
Yes.
This has no bearing on the main roster. Why are we doing this?
I didn't like the original idea of taking the gold off of Dominic. I don't think we had a long enough run of the entire Judgment Day holding gold. Right. I wanted that to go on a little longer.
It was very brief.
And it is happening, but it goes right into our next conversation, that is NXT in general, because we have John Cena and Paul Heyman on NXT next week in the corners of Bron Breakker and Carmelo Hayes. Why go this route?
I don't understand. What is NXT anymore?
That's the problem.
What is this? Is it the main roster now? Are we just, is it not even its own thing?
I mean, between doing this, Becky Lynch has the NXT women's title, but she's on Raw every week. She's defending it on Raw next week. We're having the same issue we had a few years ago, and that is NXT a third roster or is it your developmental?
Yeah, because all I hear is people say, oh, Tiffany Stratton's going to be the next big star. We're pushing her. And it's like, are we really? Because she just lost back-to-back. Yes. It's just like, what are we doing?
And it takes away the mystique of call-ups because it's, you know, that used to be a thing. But is it a call-up because you're treating NXT?
They're all
like
call-ins
brand.
Now, man.
Now,
it should
either be a third brand or a developmental. They try to treat it as both,
or just merge it. Like, I don't know. At some point, it's like, look, one brand between Raw and SmackDown has everyone NXT over there. Like, I don't know what to do. It doesn't have enough. It's not giving enough credibility anymore. People from the main roster winning titles and defeating people on NXT to justify it being its own brand.
And Johnny Gargano back and helping Tommaso Ciampa on Raw fight off Imperium. DIY reuniting. How excited are you about this?
Probably more than the fans were.
What the hell, San Jose?
I'm like, come on. Can we do better than that, people? I know it's not like the reunion of the New Age Outlaws here, but can we do better than this?
I was so excited in my living room, and then I'm watching my TV. Like, am I not supposed to be excited? Am I missing something?
Like, is my volume down?
What has happened? No reaction.
There was
for
like
this?
One section of the arena that like cheered very loudly. Everybody else was just kind of looking at their phones. I'm like,
it was Candice LeRae and Ciampa's family.
Shout
out to them. I have no idea how this did not get a reaction. You get a viable tag team in the tag team division. Another one. Love that. Did you not watch NXT and watch these guys together? These guys are great individually, great together. I love this team being back together.
San Jose, you got to get it together, man.
Please. Roll Around the Ring is every Wednesday. Find us wherever you get your podcasts, including WRIF.com for our friends in Detroit. He's that dude, Darrell Teeler. I'm Justin Valentine. We'll talk to you guys very soon.